It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet, WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of WFO Radio Live. I'm Joe Costello here in the palatial WFO Radio studios and following up the Lucas Oil Summer Nationals. And we don't have winners because we only have finalists. So you're going to hear from a couple of the finalists on the show here today. Kind of cool. We got Justin Ashley and Chad Green. Chad, of course, in the E3 Spark Plugs Pro Modified series. We spoke with him just a couple of weeks ago driving that Tim Wilkerson funny car. Going to get his thoughts on nitromethane racing, but quietly went to the final round with his nitrous oxide Corvette in Pro Mod. So we're going to speak with Chad. First up is going to be Justin, and what we're going to do is this is going to be the most hyped Top Fuel final round in the history of drag racing. That's what I want to do, and I think we should all do it. First of all, Justin is on today. Tomorrow, we're going to have TJ Zizzo. They are both going for their first ever victory. Two personable young racers. This is great. This is exactly what it's all about. And we're going to hype this deal. We're going to hear from Justin. We're going to hear from TJ. And then maybe at some point, we'll get them on at the same time, and we'll get them to do a pose down and a weigh-in and like a whatever we can do to get it to be the most hyped final round in the history of Top Fuel. We got over a month to do it, so I think it is going to be great. Justin will be up, and we're going to ask questions from the audience. So if you've guys got a question out there on YouTube or on Facebook or you Twitter folks out there, by all means, put it in the comments section, and we will get to it ASAP. Good questions, of course. Now, I do want to thank the sponsors who make this show possible. It doesn't happen by accident. Of course not. Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology, just finished a new episode of Hidden Horsepower, the podcast. They've got a brand new website, Total Seal. You got to check it out, totalseal.com. You can get the podcast there. Ed Pink is going to be the guest, and it's just amazing. Talk about drag racing history, someone who has seen it all in motorsports of all kinds. Ed Pink, the guest. But it's all an exercise that you know from Stock Eliminator to Formula One, Top Fuel or otherwise. Total Seal Piston Rings. They make extremely high-end rings, and they get that ring seal as best as is possible. Amazing stuff. Go to totalseal.com to find out more information. Also, samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. You want to become a crew chief, a CNC programmer, a motorsport EFI tuner, an engine builder, a machinist? Well, they can put you on the road for it. They are connected throughout aerospace and racing and do amazing things. We also do a podcast for those guys called Factory Stock Podcast. Samtech.edu, Judd, Linda, Brian, the great family out there, and I really appreciate what they're doing because they are helping, literally helping the sport with the next generation of workers, enthusiasts, the people that are going to be building those engines for the next generation. Thank you, Samtech.edu. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the Dragster Adventure was what I always like to promote, and that'll be coming back soon enough, but they do have their classes going on, and they have helped so many of the young racers out there get their license and kind of go in and get the mental side right before they go really quick and fast. If you want to become an alcohol funny car driver, alcohol dragster license, they do it all at frankhawley.com. But really, it's the mental side of the sport where Frank, who is a champion driver himself, one of the 50 greatest of all time, has got it going on. FrankHawley.com. And finally, Marvin Rodak, RodaksCoffeeAndGrills.com. Hot sauces and spice rubs and everything good. That's Marvin. Gourmet stuff to your door, roasted fresh for you. It is like freshly roasted coffee that you will fall in love just like I have. Hit Marvin, 817-924-6821. And I'll tell you about how to get some free WFO Radio stickers a little bit later on in the show. Word on the street is they might be pretty good at something. We'll find out soon enough. Joining us, he is in the Top Fuel final round of Lucas Oil Summer Nationals, which will be held at the E3 Spark Plugs U.S. Nationals. Here he is, Justin Ashley. Justin, welcome back. WFO, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
What a great day. So a couple weeks ago, we had you on, and we talked about just this is a challenge, getting involved. You're a good lever. Your dad has been very helpful. But the waiting game of getting back racing, and boy, you've made the most of it. A final round, second shot out.
Yeah, it's really awesome. I really feel fortunate to have the team that I do. We're only seven races in as a program, and the truth of the matter is I'm a rookie driver, but for the most part, we're a rookie team. So to be able to make it to a final round here at this last race was big for us. It helped us learning wise. It helped us gather data. It helped us continue to get experience. And the car is really, really running really well. It's, you know, really a testament to the group of guys that we have top to bottom, Aaron Brooks, Dustin Davis, Jason Bunker, and all the guys on the team. They're doing an awesome job.
I am so happy for Aaron. I got to know Aaron a little bit better over the past couple of years, helping out some of the smaller teams or teams. Like, Jay was with Jeff Deal for a while, just helping sort out issues and speaking with him in airports and really getting to hear his passion. And it's one of those situations which is unfortunate that there are a lot of talented people, but few opportunities to show their passion and talent. And sometimes the timing isn't right. And I just feel that the timing is right with your team, evidenced by a strong performance this past weekend.
Yeah, that's well said. That's exactly how we feel. And that's exactly right. I have the utmost confidence in Aaron. I always have. I've had a relationship with Aaron since the time I'm young, over the last 10 or 15 years or so. And, you know, to me, he's one of the best crew chiefs in the sport, if not the best crew chief in the sport. I have the ultimate confidence in him. I know that he's a championship caliber crew chief, and he's proved to do that, you know, thus far.
Yes, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. I want to say what's up to the people out there already lined up on the social. Dave, who's a great photographer out there, and Justin, Sam, everybody checking in. Justin setting up a watch party. That's always big, listeners. If you set up a watch party, Facebook thinks it must be important, and I think Justin is. Kev is out there. Monday Morning Racer is out there. Crew member, even had a new crew member impressively gel so quickly, and I'm guessing I know who that is.
Yeah, we did. We had a new crew member. You know, join us this weekend. And listen, I don't know what, all I know is we put WFO stickers on the car this weekend and we had a new crew member named Justin and we went right to the finals. So it's got to be a combination of those two things.
Yeah. Let's dig down on the WFO stickers, because I am offering to give away WFO radio stickers to all of our listeners. All they got to do is send a self-addressed stamped envelope. So I don't have any busy work, because I hate that, like, you know, writing out addresses and everything. And I want to save the stamps too, because I'm cheap. Not really, but it makes it easy. You asked me, you said, hey, man, I'll put WFO stickers on the car. You debuted them last week, and now you're in the final round. It's it must be magic. Could you feel the speed? Could you feel the difference? Speak in depth on the power of the WFO radio sticker to go to the final round.
Well, I'm just saying, nothing happens by coincidence, right? So we went out there the first week, and we just had to break in the sticker a little bit. We really didn't know what to expect, and then by the time the second weekend came around in Indy, we felt more comfortable. I shined the sticker on a little bit more.
Yes.
And sure enough, we went to the finals, three straight round victories. It just, it's too difficult for me to believe it happened by coincidence. So it has to be a sticker.
Definitely. Either that or some one of these big conspiracy theories out there that everybody's got. Either way, I highly recommend it to all the racers out there. Bracket racers, if you love the podcast and you appreciate it, getting the word out there. And it's funny, because I got a couple of texts from people who were at the race popping shots of the dragster. Like, hey, did you see this? And so maybe when you look at all the cars and all the logos on the cars, it might kind of look like a, you know, a cacophony of colors. But when someone sees something that's meaningful to them, like WFO, I listen to that every week. They connect and they take a picture and they post it. It's that's the point of it.
It is. It's important. It's important to get your show out there. You do a great job. So this is the little part that we could do on our end to help you with that.
I appreciate it. All right, let's talk about how you got there, and that you were very impressive. First round, you qualified 14th, going up against the former champ and great lever, Sean Langdon. And if I was at the race and we were doing our marquee matchup, like, that would have been one that I would have definitely looked at. I think Billy and Steve would have won it on this particular week because of the family connection. But you have to bring your A game. Sean actually got off the line a little bit ahead of you, and that's why you put together a strong team. Sometimes it's the driver, sometimes it's the car, sometimes it's the combination, and your combination was quicker and faster than his. You got there first.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's why this is a team sport right there. Sean is a past world champion, so it doesn't really make for the best night's sleep the night before, as you can imagine. So I had to go up there and do my best to give ourselves an opportunity to win. But, you know, this was on the team. This one was not on me, that's for sure. Aaron Brooks and team did an awesome job. They gave me a fast car. We ran the best we did all weekend, a 382. And we were able to edge out Sean to kind of get the day started and get the momentum going.
That's a big thing, getting the momentum going. And, you know, you get through a guy like Sean Lang, then you're feeling, hey, we got something going. And you've gone rounds in the past. In fact, seems like you go rounds every time you show up with the car. But it had to be a good feeling to get going and get by Sean, only to set up a matchup with, it's like Bruce Lee, right? You climb the pagoda and every level it gets more difficult. You got to go up against the points leader, Doug Coletta, who had been to every final round this year. And you broke his streak and left the starting line first.
Yeah, lucky us. That was our reward. It's like, all right, here, race champion Sean Langdon, you beat him. No problem. Here's Doug Coletta for you. One of the best to ever do it. So what can you know? You know, for me, you know, every driver is different. I don't look at the ladder. I really don't look at the matchups. I didn't even know who we were racing until we pulled into the staging lane. So when I saw it was Doug, I thought, oh boy, you know, here we go. You know, we better be on our A game. And sure enough, we were. I can't say enough good things about Doug. That's one of the best drivers to ever sit in any kind of car, let alone a top fuel car. So it's just a testament to the group of guys that we have. They did an awesome job. It ended up being a super close race, tied off the starting line, and our 381 to his 383. But that's just a good job of controlling what we can control, focus on doing the best job that we can, and going to A to B as fast as we can. And we did that. And fortunately for us, you know, the end result was a win.
So what about, let's dive into that a little bit more deeply. And for you guys out there watching on YouTube, watching the live stream, if you got a question for Justin, put it up in the comment section and I'll show it to him, of course, you know, within reason. But like, that sounds like I don't look at the ladder. I don't think about who I'm racing. Is that something that you just haven't gotten around to because you're focused on your driver duties? Or is it a bit of a superstition to keep yourself in the mental place you want to be, because it doesn't ultimately matter? You just got to see yellow and stomp that loud pedal in a quick and consistent way, get the car down there. What is the methodology?
Yeah, more so than anything else, I make a conscious effort to not look at it. I want to focus on doing the best job that I can, because at the end of the day, the way racing works is you can only control your side of the racetrack. You can't control what the guy or the girl in the other lane is doing. So I don't even want to give that an opportunity to get into my head. I'm strictly focused on not getting too high, not getting too low. It doesn't matter to me who's in the other lane. I just have to go up there, leave as quickly as I can when I see yellow, and drive the car as straight as I can. So I think that's just part of my methodology for staying focused on the task at hand.
I like it. I don't know how long that's going to last, though, because as you get some success, you're gonna want to know. But ignorance is bliss, I guess, right? You go up, you keep it as simple as possible.
Right.
See the light, stomp the pedal, keep it straight, and the rest will handle itself. And it certainly did on this given day. Semifinal, Leah. And she was looking really good. The car was looking fantastic. But it was a really solid day, very consistent with Leah. You had lane choice, but the car put a hole out as you were staging it. And I'm watching on NHRA.TV, I noticed, Reinhardt noticed, we're all noticing. And then when you left, 055, hole out, coasted across, got the stripe, 404. She obviously lost power, had a problem. That's racing. You got to get down the racetrack. But why did it lose that cylinder, to your knowledge? And what do you think of that run?
Yeah, so the funny thing about that run is I think, you know, as soon as we started the car, it actually put a hole out. And sometimes, you know, the cylinder will refire. It actually happened to us in the previous round. But this time it didn't. The hole stayed out the entire way. And I think everybody knew except for me sitting in the car until I stepped on the throttle. And as soon as I did, it pulled hard immediately to the right. And I had to put it right back into the groove. And I guess that's just one of those situations where, you know, maybe it's better to be lucky than good. I don't know. You know, we did our job. We crossed the finish line first, which is, again, a testament to the group of guys and the team that we have, because they were working hard all day long to even put us in that position. But it's just one of those deals where you race long enough, situations like that are going to happen. And fortunately for us, we were still able to capitalize and get the win and move on to the finals.
There you go. All right. Now big win, go to the finals. And like I said, you got a WFO sticker, so it's like, wow, that's cool. Your dad, I like this. Some people are not going to like this, but that's the whole point of it. He looked right into the camera and said, bye, Leah. Now, I love Leah. Like, I think Leah is as great for the sport as anybody, and she is awesome. So it's nothing personal, but I thought that was good for the people watching to see that these guys, you know, are kind of like, hey, we beat you, to those other guys. And that is the very slight and the friction that I think that this sport needs. Now, if I was a fan of Leah, I would be like mad, but that's the point of it. You want your fans to get ruffled when you get beaten. And so there's no way you could have known he did that. Did you know he did that?
I didn't know he did that. But what I'll say about that is I'm not a trash talker myself. I don't talk very much. I believe in, you know, talking on the racetrack, period. But with that being said, I do actually think part of that is healthy for the sport. I think it shows that the teams are passionate. I think it shows that the teams are emotional, and it shows that the teams are there to win. Now, in that particular instance, I won't go into specific detail, but there is much more of a backstory to that than there seems to be on the surface. So there's more to it than what it just looks like.
And this group of people drag racing together for years, all of that, it makes sense that they are. And it's good. I believe it's good to let the fans watching know when a win is important for reasons other than a win light. There's all kinds of other stuff. So that's interesting. And I'm sure it's going to make everyone curious. Sorry, Keith has a question about your dad, who has had great success over the years in the wheel of a race car. And we got the kid is on. The kid's going to final round. And they're like, no, man, we want to know when your dad's going to race again. What about that?
Story of my life, man. Yeah. You know, I'm at the track sometimes and they're like, hey, Justin. I'm like, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? Where's your dad? I'm like, hold on one sec. I'll grab him. I don't think so. I don't think he's really going to come back and drive. I ask him. I'd love for him to come back and drive. It's a family sport. I think it would be a lot of fun, even just for a race here and there. But he is, you know, he's incredible in the father role that he's in. He's my mentor, my hero, my role model. So he really has no interest in coming back to drive. I think that he really he enjoys this more so than he did driving. He likes being a fan and rooting me on.
I at a much more localized level, that was the story of my father and me, in that once he put me in the car, that became just a bracket car, but that became his focus. And he really liked the I don't want to call it no responsibility, but certainly much less responsibility, the cheering on, the talking smack, the having fun, the meeting and greeting at the track, all the stuff that goes along with racing without the responsibility. And at the same time, he had his kid in there. And I can see that with your dad. You know, he and I interact on the starting line all the time. And there is nobody that is more excited and proud of their kid or their driver than your dad. Like, maybe some people have tied him, certainly, but he really gets fired up about it and he's relishing the role. So for fans of Mike Ashley, you got to understand that he seems pretty happy doing what he's doing.
Yeah, that's right. He really is. You know, the part about driving, everything about driving is fantastic, but the part that you don't get to see is the reaction from the team on the starting line. So I'm able to go back later and look at the videos and watch his reaction when runs go well. And it's just, it's a joy for me to be able to see how passionate he is just watching me race.
We need those reactions, just like we need a little smack talk. And we need it. We need it. Can't be sterile. We need it. James out there talking about Q2, car died, since he wants to know what happened.
Yeah, so that was one of those interesting circumstances where we weren't able to get the track. We weren't able to get the car down the track in Q1. And being that there's only two sessions, it was critical for us to be able to go out there and make a good run and set us up with a baseline for the next day. All of a sudden, we were on the starting line and the car died. And what happened was there was a leak in the air system. So the air bottle actually had no air in it, which triggered the safety system and automatically shut off the car. So as I was moving forward, getting ready to pull into the bulbs, everything kind of just died and shut off because it triggered the safety system through the air bottle. And just one of those situations where, listen, it happens. You race long enough, things like that are going to happen. And it put our team to the test. And thankfully, they went back to work and did an awesome job the next day.
So some cool photos from the weekend. There's you in the cockpit of the race car. Thank you for providing these. Tight fit in there. You know what, though? When I look at a shot like this, Justin, I think, and then watch like some of these Nitro Time Machines that Brian's been doing, and we see these classic photos of drag racing cockpits, and I'm thinking like, wow, that's amazing how far we've come. But it didn't take a genius to think, maybe we should put some padding in there. You know, like maybe we should put some padding around the driver's helmet. It's light years further along than it was even when your dad drove.
It really is. It's pretty amazing. For me, you know, in the beginning when I started driving, I almost took this stuff for granted. I just kind of assumed that's the way it always was. And then talking to drivers who used to race, talking to my father, I realized it wasn't always like that. You know, today, even just getting your seat poured to have a custom seat is just normal. It's what all the drivers do. But, you know, back in the early 2000s, that wasn't always the case. So they've come a long way with safety. They've come a long way with padding. Even the canopy car, what they've done with the addition of the canopy car has made these top field dragsters much more safe. And I think just as a driver, it just allows you to focus on the task at hand and feel a lot more comfortable.
I can imagine. I can imagine the shots in front of the iconic Indy Tower. You know, you got a shot to win Indy. Justin, you got a shot to win Indy, not the U.S. Nationals necessarily. But what was the atmosphere like with the fans, limited fans? The reports I've gotten, everybody was well-behaved and trying to do the right thing. How was your experience dealing with the race fans? And it's different than normal. You can't go up and, you know, hug people, but we were racing. That's what matters.
That's right. You said it best. We were racing, and that's what matters. I have to say, I was very impressed over these last two weekends with everybody from the NHRA staff to all the teams and drivers and fans out there. They all really followed all the necessary protocols to keep us safe. And I think that we have to, if we want to continue to race, although it might be a slight inconvenience, it's certainly better than the alternative. So I was someone who, going into these two Indy races, was concerned. I was concerned about the health and safety of our team, of myself, of their families, of our families. It's something that we need to consider. But judging by how it went over these first 2 weeks, I feel more than comfortable moving forward. And, you know, my hat's off to all the teams, drivers, the NHRA staff out there who really just did an awesome job over the course of these last 2 weeks, making sure that everyone's been safe and healthy.
And a new race has been added. And I've been saying it, I'm ruining my National Dragster column, but having racing in one place that we can do it and it's safe is definitely better than not having racing. And so I'm loving what I'm seeing. Of course, I would love to be involved, but I've been enjoying it. And I get to critique the media side of the deal. You got a couple of nice high-profile interviews, Chip and Strutmasters. Got to be very happy. Speak on that. Bruno coming in, getting ready for the finals. I want to ask you about that pre-final round thrash you had. But you've got a chance to define your personality to all of these people. It was a theoretical thing a few months ago, but now you're on the Fox Broadcast Network. They got like 900,000. They got a good number. And here's this kid. He's on the TV. And what's he like? And what's his attitude? And Bruno shoving a mic in your face. Tell me a little bit about how you handle that.
Yeah, that was fun. For me, I look at it like it's a great opportunity to extend our reach and our visibility for our sponsors. That's what it's all about. I have a great group of sponsors, starting with Chip Lofton and Strutmasters.com, who've believed in me. And it's up to me to make sure that it's worth their while to be on this team. And I feel fortunate to have them. And, you know, helping extend their reach and increase their exposure is one way to do that. So I was happy to do it for Strutmasters, for Menards, who joined our team this week, which was absolutely awesome. And they'll be on board for the rest of 2020. But the list goes on and on for our marketing partners, Auto Shocker, Kato, Hero Soap Company, King Engine Bearings, Lucas Oil, Justice Brothers. We're able to do this and we're able to get that visibility because of them.
I see. I think, like, I'm sensing, you know, there's a lot of people that come through this sport and I root them on, and we need new teams and we need new projects. But you are taking this on in a very serious way, like bringing on all these partners. And I really believe that people recognize that, you're not a fly-by-night situation, that you intend to be here for the long haul. And I think about Don Schumacher and what he has done in the sport. And I'm not saying you're going to be a Don Schumacher racing in 20 years, but if it happened, Justin, I don't think anyone would be surprised. That marketing side of it seems to be where you really operate well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. For me, I look at it like when you're actually racing and at the racetrack, that's about 10% of it. The other 90% is, having a successful business model in place that ensures that you're going to have funding and you're going to have long-term sustainable success. And you're going to be able to be out there and perform on the track and perform for your marketing partners. So for us, that's something that we focus on, is making sure that we're able to bring on these marketing partners and making sure that they get their ROI and making sure that they're taken care of the right way. So it's something that we take very seriously. Winning is always priority, but the bottom line is top priority is making sure that our marketing partners get what they're looking for.
So the final round, you and TJ Zizzo, there were very few people there for the big fight that happened. But one photograph was captured. I'm kidding, obviously. It was not a fight. But I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, maybe this could have been a disagreement. Your dad's in there. You're there. There's TJ. What was happening in this photo? And can it be spun in a way to hype this great battle between you and another great racing family? Like, I love those guys. And Mike Kern and everybody over there, they deserve a win so much. You deserve a win. You guys are going to have to fight for a win against each other. What was happening in this photo?
Yeah, it's so tough for me to try and turn that photo into this big hyped up machine. Oh, this was a big fight, because it was completely the opposite. It was just two teams getting together who were just super happy to be there, super happy to be in the finals. And we just wanted to come up with an agreement that was going to work for everybody. What you see there in that photo is their team and TJ discussing with myself and our team what the best approach was to finish that final round. We weighed a bunch of different options, and at the end, we decided what was in the best interest of everybody was to run that final round at the U.S. Nationals. Now, there's going to be a lot of hype. There's going to be a lot of publicity leading up to it. It's 6 or 7 weeks away. It may be tough to wait, but we're both excited to be there. I do not have a single complaint. I'm so grateful just to be racing, let alone be in a final. So, I have so much respect for TJ. TJ, every time they come to the racetrack, they have an opportunity to win. They have a great car. He's a very enthusiastic guy, and he does an awesome job behind the wheel and on and off the racetrack. So I'm excited. It's going to be the first chance I get to line up against him and his team. So it should be fun for all of us.
So what I want to do as we get closer, because I'm having TJ on tomorrow, feel free to talk some trash if you want. But I want to get you guys on at the same time, and I know that you guys are friendly with each other. I know your personalities. So it's not possible to get you guys to do that. Or is it? Like, what does smack talk between Justin and TJ sound like? Like, man, I wish you could win, but I have to beat you.
I think that's what it sounds like. A smack talk between me and TJ probably goes something like, here's a little fist pump. I really hope I win, but I wish you nothing but the best.
Yeah,
That's probably what you're going to get from us. Again, I'm not much of a trash talker. I believe in doing our talking on the racetrack, but look, I wish TJ nothing but the best.
Did the rain help you guys? You guys seemed to be in trouble. There was something up with the car. I don't know if it was like a pan pressure switch or some sort of something that wasn't right. Wouldn't refire. You guys had to tear it apart. And that rain came at just the right time. So you could sort it out. What was that challenge?
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Actually, had the rain not come, we were going to make it to the starting line and we would have made the pass. But we were in a serious thrash, serious rush. We did some damage in the semifinal round. So, with the limited time frame that there was, I really took all hands on deck. We had, buttoned the car up, pretty much got it ready to go for the warm up. And we didn't realize that in the midst of doing what we were doing, the throttle cable broke. So we had to take everything we had to take the body panels off, fix the throttle cable. And it was all those little things that kind of added up. But our team did an amazing job just making sure that we were going to be able to roll up and be ready for the finals. And we were going to be, but we didn't have a chance to really warm up the car fully. And we didn't have a chance to do everything that we wanted to do. But I also want to make note of the fact that Steve Torrence and his Capco team came over as soon as the semifinals were over and helped us work on the car. Not only their team, but I was there mixing fuel And I looked over my shoulder and Steve Torrence himself was working on the blower. So I want to thank those guys for coming over to help. And it really just shows the kind of, you know, the kind of family that drag racing is.
And why? Do you buy parts from those guys or you do anything? Is it just because they're drag racers? Because I expect that from Steve. And that's what people don't realize about Steve. And Steve gets a little bit of a bad rap, but he's doing all kinds of stuff that nobody ever knows about.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, this is why I want to make note of it, because sometimes this is stuff that slips through the cracks and people don't realize it. But listen, more so than anything else, Steve came over just because, you know, he saw us in the final round. He was happy for us. I know that he has a previous relationship with Aaron. Nobody asked him to do anything. He went out of his way to come over there with his guys to work on the car and to help us get ready for the final round. So that was just pure genuine because he wanted to be a help to us. So, you know, a big shout out to Steve and all those Capco guys. Just, you know, a tremendous, tremendous help from them.
He's used to being involved in a final round one way or another, so he had to inject himself in there. That makes perfect sense. Justin, thank you very much. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put the WFO Radio stickers address on the screen. Just send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the address P.O. Box 848-353 Pembroke Pines, Florida 33084, care of WFO Stickers Castello Media, and you too can have this amazing WFO Radio sticker that Justin somehow credits for assisting in some sort of very superstitious way. You know, it's hard to argue against. You put it on the car, you went to the final round. It's pretty simple.
They're special stickers. That's all I'm going to say. You can't argue with the results. So yeah. I'm telling you right now, if you're listening, get a sticker.
Get a sticker. Advice. There you go, Justin. Thank you very much. Thank you. Obviously, this is a joke, folks. But the work of the team. But hey, a little superstition every now and again. You just got to give it a little rub and you get a little luck. Thank you. Good luck. Good job. Again, I do want to have you and TJ on at the same time and have that conversation before the race. And even if you got to, you know, hype it up, that's going to be a big final round at the U.S. Nationals. I wish you luck here in advance.
Thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
All right, Justin. Take care. There he goes, Justin Ashley, with us here on WFO Radio. Chad Green is next. Chad down there in the green room. But I am going to get it. The green room? It is most appropriate now. The waiting room for the next guest is the green room, as we got Chad Green on the show. But here's the address again. P.O. Box 848-353, Pembroke Pines, Florida 33084, care of Castello Media, WFO Stickers. And, you know, usually put two stamps on there, and I can fit 6 to 8 stickers of various WFO generations on there. And then you can rock them, and we got a sticker on a top fuel car. I think it's cool. All right. Speaking of Nitro and ProMod, and a guy who was out there doing both this past week, he was on the show just a couple weeks ago, and now he's back, and he's got some adventures to talk about, was also in the final round, out of the green room, but still green, Mr. Chad Green. What's up, Chad? How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Joe. How are you?
I'm great. It was so much fun watching you out there, having just spoken with you and getting to know the passion that, like, you were excited to get in that funny car, and a very interesting experience. But for you to be able to handle the back and forth and go to the final round in the first race of the E3 Spark Plugs Pro Modified Series season, man, that speaks volumes. What a great weekend at the track.
Oh, yes. It was an amazing weekend, Joe, let me tell you. Our ProMod car performed so well. I mean, we couldn't ask for more out of it, more performance, the way the car was going down the track. The funny car, I mean, what a weekend to go to the finals of the ProMod and get to drive the funny car for the first time. You know, we got it qualified. So that's an accomplishment right there. It didn't go quite as good as we wanted, but, you know, that's okay. All we need is, we need some laps in it. And, afterwards, we found some adjustments we're going to make in the car, you know, to make me more comfortable in the car, you know, some little things like that. So, but overall, couldn't ask for more. I just wish we would have the opportunity to finish it, because it just felt like it was one of those days, you know.
Yes, and we'll talk about that. I want to discuss the – and, folks, if you have a question for Chad, hopefully you're all right if our listeners submit a question or two, if they happen to have one. And to me, I want to talk ProMod, but I want to get in on the experience of the Nitro Funny Car, in that I'm never going to do it. So I need to lean on you to find out what it's like to go into this warp speed machine. And I noticed – you moving over to the right at the end of these runs. And I know that that's part of driving, like moving from position to position within driving. It's going so fast. take me through one of those runs, and you were getting it, and I'm sure it's all reps, right? Reps. What was it like? Take us through a run.
Well, right, exactly, Joe. I did struggle a little bit with that. Like, for example, on our first qualifying run, at the end of the run, we made that run with the cylinder out the whole way. And, of course, I didn't know that. You know, I'm not experienced enough driving those to know when there's a cylinder out or not. But, you know, I was having to fight the car, which you have to do when there's a cylinder out. And, I think basically what happened, there was a cylinder out. I had the steering wheel cranked, you know, fighting it to keep it straight. And when I got off the gas, it went that way, you know, that I had the steering wheel cranked. So I just didn't get it corrected enough, I guess, when I got off the gas. But great learning experience. The car was a handful. We had a cylinder out just about every run in that car. So, you know, it was my first time back in it in a year and a half. Overall, it went, you know, like I said, we would have liked for it to have gone better, but it didn't go bad. You know, and at the end of the day, we didn't hurt anything. You know, we got qualified number 11, which is, to me, is just amazing. So,
yeah, well, exactly. And that it's to think you're going to go out and win the first race that you qualify. I know Alan always says you got to have the right mental attitude just in case it happens. And you're prepared.
Right.
You're prepared to win. And the racing gods, who knows what they're going to serve up on any given day. But I think it's a victory just getting qualified and getting laps in the situation. Like just getting laps, gaining that experience, knowing what it's like. You've already advanced beyond 99.9% of the human beings that are in drag racing with these experiences, driving these funny cars, working with Wilkerson. What is it like to work with Tim and Daniel? And Daniel raced the week before, going through the process, the warm-ups, top-end interviews with Amanda, just a lot of extra stuff on this given weekend.
Well, it was a really crazy, exciting weekend, let me tell you. I mean, the pro mods and the funny cars pretty much ran back-to-back the whole
yes.
weekend. So, I mean, it was literally getting out of one car, going to the staging lanes and getting in the other. But, you know, to go back just a second and talk about, you know, chance of winning at the first race you qualify, the one thing about it is the team that I'm working with, you know, Tim Wilkerson and that group. And as you can see, he's got his car running really well right now.
Yes.
And I mean, you know, they're doing the same thing to both cars. So I knew, you know, if I could go out there and do my job, there is a chance, you know, that we could perform well. Definitely.
Yeah, that is the thing. I don't know what Tim, he's been banging his head against the wall. He's got his car running so good and just waiting for that day where the stars align. You mentioned that first round matchup, Jack Beckman. That's tough. He went to the final. And so what can you say? You're going to lose to someone who goes to the final round. But I would call it a victory on the funny car side. Was the pro modified like going back home, getting out of the funny car, and then you get into this pro mod car and all of a sudden you feel so comfortable and this is where you've been for a while and where so much experience is? And the few times that I've run two race cars on the same weekend, the one that I'm more familiar with, I end up doing better because it's just like autopilot. Everything you know is where it is. It's set up for you. Just like you said, the car's been tailored to you. And it certainly looked like you had a, you know, maybe a career day possible as you go to the final round.
We did. It was one of those days. The car, I just can't say enough about my crew, Dean Marinas. I mean,
Dean.
He's a man.
Tell me about Dean. This guy's a maniac.
Yeah,
like everybody needs to know Dean Marinas. He's cool.
Dean Marinas is amazing. Such a smart guy. I'm so lucky to have him on my team. And you know, as I probably mentioned before, last time we talked, you know, we got a chance to go out and run this car a lot, you know, during this off time. We put nearly 50 passes on the car. We tried new things, you know, figured out things that wasn't working. And, you know, fortunately for us, you know, last weekend in Indy, it was set up for an I-just car, the conditions, you know. So definitely we had that going for us. But, you know, there's other I-just cars there too. You know, our car, you know, it was just set up and going down the track so beautifully. I mean, it was almost boring to drive it, Joe, because it was so smooth and running so good. So, you know, hopes now, you know, we're going to go back to Indy in 3 weeks. So, yeah, hopefully things won't change a whole lot. We can go back there and just pick up where we left off. I mean, we're not going to touch the car. It's So we'll see what happens. We're excited about that race.
It'll still be humid. Don't get me wrong. But you had to run Stevie Fast first round. So, like, hey, number four qualifier, you got to go up against the champ.
And, no, we went against Tutturo.
Well, what am I looking at the ladder chart here? Is that wrong? I guess the ladder chart is wrong. I got, tell me. Yeah, no, I got the ladder chart here, and it is incorrect. I believe you over over the ladder. So just tell me about your first round matchup.
Yeah. Our first round matchup was against Tutturo, which is like going against Stevie.
Just the same thing.
Not much difference there. It was exciting. I mean, he double bowled me in that round, and I don't know what happened there. I'm not going to say it was intentional, or it probably wasn't. Things happen like that. Brakes don't hold, whatever. And it's happened to me before. Anyway, I was fortunate enough to go in, still get him on the tree, and we ran really good, and we ran really good all day after that. I mean, it was one of those things. Our car, especially on the top end, it was running really good. There was, a few of those races where, I could see the car beside me and some instances in front of me, and we just pull them on the back end. It was exciting.
Hitting 250 mile per hour with a nitrous car is always a big, big thing. And
definitely. Yeah. And the air was at 4,000 feet, So, we had the car running really strong.
So you're in the final round now, and it's one of those things where this is going to twist in your mind for a while. You got Jason Scruggs, who's tough, had a really great day also. We're going to have first-time winner in Top Fuel. We're going to have first-time winner in ProMod. But now you got to sit on it and just wait to the big go, which is cool. It's going to make the big go a lot more hyped, another reason to get out there for everybody. But, how do you deal with that? You're just waiting. You got a winning lottery ticket maybe.
Yeah, it's not the ideal situation. We would have liked to finish it that day. We was on a roll that day. 6 weeks from now, who knows what the conditions will be like and what our car is running like at that time. You have all those factors to think about, but at the end of the day, I'm not going to worry about it. We came out of the race in a really good position, which, I think the first race of the year where you come out of that race is so critical, when you're talking about points wise. And now we have an opportunity to go back to Indy again with similar conditions for the second race. And I mean, if we can do really good in that race, that'll put us in a really good position, for the year. And, that's all I'm thinking about right now. And we'll deal with that round when we get to it. And, we're just going to try and keep it rolling.
All right, Kev has a question. Just the difference in setup between a ProMod car and a fuel car. Like, that's a long answer. Summarize it as best as you can.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally different. I mean, when I'm in the ProMod, during the starting line and stage of procedures, I'm pretty busy. I've got a lot to do in there, a lot of switches and, purging nitrous bottles and all that. And in a fuel car, there's nothing. In fact, there's no gauge in a fuel car. There's just your steering wheel and that's what you got, and your forward and reverse and your turn on the gas and your clutch. So a lot less going on in there, but a lot different too. Yeah. One of the things I struggled with in the fuel car at this last race was my reaction time. I was really slow off the light. And in my pro mod, I'm generally pretty good. I have a pretty good reaction time. So that's something, I mean, it's totally different. Definitely something I'm going to have to work on. I think give me a few laps and I'll be good.
Yeah, I think so too. I have no doubt. I love the idea. The only gauge in the fuel car is, your ears. Is it on? Yeah, it's on. Okay.
No oil pressure gauge, nothing. No gauge.
No. When.
So, in the nitrous car, there's a lot going on, in there, during the staging process, turning on your nitrous, we turn on shocks, purge bottles, dump the gears. I mean, there's just a lot going on in there. But for me, after doing it, it becomes muscle memory, and I'm comfortable with that, more comfortable than I was in the fuel car with not much to do, but that's how it goes.
Now, what about that on the nitrous purge side of things? Is there a methodology? How many? How often? How long? People use it as an intimidation factor, the way they purge the nitrous. What is your method and how do you?
I guess people interpret that different ways, but it's really a pretty simple process. I mean, when we leave the line, we want our nitrous bottles at a certain, you know, pressure. And, you know, you can't raise the pressure in the bottle. You can only lower it. So when we go to the line, you know, it's real important for us that, you know, our bottles are above where we want them to be when we leave the starting line. So that's what we're doing when we're purging our bottles, is just bringing them down to the pressure that you want. Now, on hot days, you know, when it's real hot in the staging lanes, you know, those bottles are wanting to heat up themselves. So you have to purge a little more sometimes on hot days. You know, we try and not heat the bottles up too much. We don't want to be up there purging all day, you know, and purge out half our bottles naturally. So, you know, we've kind of got, you know, wherever we're going to leave, we've got a limit how high above that we heat the bottles. And that's what's going on there.
So Dean Marinus, Pat Musi, Chad Green, vast differences in personalities coming together to have success. I don't know if Pat was there or not. I saw Dean. I did not see Pat on TV. Normally I keep track of the white hair. But just going rounds, what is that like with all these characters?
Well, I mean, like you said, we've all got very different personalities. But, you know, we all get along great. I mean, we have now for years, you know, ever since I've been with Pat, ever since I got in pro mod racing, I've been dealing with Pat, and we've always got along great. This year, unfortunately, because of his schedule and the NHRA schedule, he's not going to be with us much at the races. He's still, you know, working with us off track, but, you know, it's pretty much going to be Dean this year. And, you know, which, you know, based on our performance of the last race, I feel so comfortable with. And I mean, Dean's the man. So Pat is too. You know, it's a credit to everybody because, you know, Pat's given us such a great motor, you know, right now. Thing was really running great.
Now, what about the extra cubic inches? You know, we have the new centrifugal supercharger combination has jumped in, and down in Orlando, they were just lighting the world on fire. Here in actual racing conditions, there seemed to be parity. Maybe that was the humidity of the weather conditions, but certainly didn't jump out totally ahead of everybody. Just pretty good. The nitrous, the 956, is it? Like the bigger cubic inch engine? None of those on the property as far as we know. You've got all this invested in the combination that you have. What do you think is going to be the adoption rate of that new larger cubic inch formula for the nitrous?
The way they did the rules, unfortunately, I don't think you're going to see a lot of that. I mean, we thought about it ourselves, but I mean, you know, they basically in the rules, they made them equal. So, you know, if it's equal because you have more weight with the 959, if it's equal to running the 903, why change all your stuff? You know, that's kind of how we looked at it. You know, we've got all this stuff. Why change all our motors, our whole system, if they're still going to be apples to apples on the track, you know, so to speak. And so, you know, I don't know what everyone else's thinking is on that. That's what our thinking was on it. And but I suspect it's similar type deal. You know, I think if they would have just made it to where it's a 959 limit and not made the two combinations in nitrous, I think it would have been better. And we would definitely be running on 959s right now. But that's not what they chose to do. So if they're apples to apples, we'll just stick with what we got.
There it is. That makes a lot of sense. And why are you a nitrous guy for that reason? Like, there's guys who swap the power adders all over the place from turbo to pro charger. Look how many guys switch from turbos to pro chargers just in this off season. So they don't care what it is, but you're sticking it out with the nitrous combination. Is it because you've got such a great relationship with Pat? Do you care? Does it matter?
It definitely matters. And I'll say, you know, being in a nitrous car, we were definitely at an advantage at this last race, but you know, that doesn't happen a lot. There's so many of the races that we're at a disadvantage at, you know, when the weather's really good, you know, we're at a real disadvantage against the blowers. Like, you know, last year in Gainesville, you know, both Stevie and Ty were in 65s. We could never run a 65, even in those conditions. So, you know, you know, on the same token, being in a nitrous car, I've got one of the best teams to have for a nitrous car. And so, you know, there's a lot of blower cars and a lot of turbos that we beat still. You know, we may be at a little disadvantage against the top guys like Stevie and Tutterow in those conditions. But we still beat a lot of the other ones. So, I mean, for me to change combinations, I mean, unless you, it's so much more than combination. It's your crew. It's the people. I mean, if you can't have the best people, if I switch to a blower car and I can't have the best people like I have now, I would actually be at a disadvantage from where I am now. So, yeah, it all boils down to that.
That makes perfect sense. I love it. I congratulate you on making the final round. Obviously, we'll follow the story. You and Jason for your first win. I wish you luck. It's been very entertaining. And we got a long way to wait till we get to that point. But, hey, I appreciate it.
Look forward to it. I'm looking forward to the race against Jason. Let me just say something about Jason. He's a great drag racer. And let me tell you, that's going to be a good drag race for sure. Yes. It's no gimme. I'm going to have to go try and beat that guy.
Well, and that's what's fun about it. One of the downsides of our sport is that there's so many races and they happen so fast. You really don't get a lot of time to really think about it and break it down and consider what it means, like you do a boxing match, which I compare it often to, where they overhype for weeks and months and years. These two guys are going to step in the ring. We got some time with these final rounds. We're going to have some fun with them. So this might not be the last time you're back on before we get to that point. Because we know Justin and TJ, Justin just told us that the smack talk game is going to be low with those two. They're going to be patting each other on the back because they're buds. What about you and Jason? Can we get you guys ramped up a little bit for entertainment value?
Hopefully. I mean, yeah, we'll try. You know, I'm not big on that, but yeah, it's going to be a great race against Jason. Let me tell you, maybe he hasn't ran that many NHRA races, but that guy has run a lot of races and won a lot and is a champion and just a super racer. And yeah, I look forward to being able to race him.
Awesome. Chad, thank you for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. Congratulations on making the final round. And great effort and the big go. You got a shot to win your first race, but you never know. You might have already won your first race before you get to then. We'll see you then. Thank you so much.
All right, Joe. Thank you.
There he goes. Chad Green back down into the green room. I love racers competing for their first win. That's one of the great moments in all of this sport. The idea that TJ, who will be on tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern time, TJ Zizzo, going to be on the show. And while we've still got you, very special guest also. If you saw the happy hour with Kenny Youngblood, you know that I view drag racing as a cultural thing. Yes, it's a race. And people often say, you know, it's not a car show, it's a drag race. But I disagree with that. It's this over-the-top cultural experience. Like, there's drag racing-themed art and music. You think about Jan and Dean, the Beach Boys back in the day, all kinds of stuff. Primus, Jerry was a race car driver. There's all kinds of racing. It's a culture. It's a cultural experience. And the art of drag racing, and in particular the race cars, is a big thing. And on my WFO Radio podcast, which is audio only, and all these shows are on there, and that's where the lion's share of our audience still is, the hardworking guy who is driving from place to place that listens to the show. But now, with this Facebook Live and WFO Radio YouTube component, we are able to do some things that we just couldn't do in the past, not in the way that I would like. And so tomorrow, right after TJ, who will be on at 4 p.m. Eastern time, of course, subscribe and click the bell on YouTube and be ready. But we're going to have Jaron Settles, who is the Flying Airbrush. He is an artist in the NHRA. Some would say he is a painter, but obviously he is not just a painter. He is an incredible next-level talent. We've had Tukey on the show. Travis Hess has been on in our podcast-only days. And so now we are able to expand and see some of the artwork. And so Jaron is going to be on. He's a racer, too. Had a perfect race this past weekend. Trip Zero, Dead Zero. Amazing stuff. But he is going to be on the show, and we're going to review many of his works of art. And so you're definitely going to want to see that. And if you've got some friends who are into, maybe they don't like racing, but they like unbelievable talent with an airbrush or in terms of painting, you're definitely going to want to watch as we go. I'm not showing you all the art, by the way. I have all the art, but I'm not showing you now. That's why you got to tune in. It's a deep tease right there. But Subscribe, WFO Radio. Follow on Facebook, Twitter. Of course, me on Instagram. All right, let's see some final thoughts from the folks out there. You guys were very poor with the questions. I'm sorry. Poor. Come on. I'm putting up decent questions. We got the Monday Morning Racer, James Kraft. It's like carrying the load for everybody. Justin Ashley, doing a great job. You could have probably, let's see. Jeff says he's in Millstadt, Illinois. Jeff works for the Chamber of Commerce out there in Millstadt, Illinois. And Janet, good luck to you, Chad, of course. How you doing, Mama Enders? Very cool to see you out there. Like, looking forward to TJ. Oh, looking forward to the artist. Better set my alarm. Set the alarm. We've got a weekend. We're going to get Courtney and Jason back to do a happy hour show real soon. I'm working on something very avant-garde with the happy hour show that hopefully everybody will enjoy. Interesting stuff. So our archives are loaded. If you have the WFO Radio app on your iPhone or your Android phone, the app is really home base for WFO. Things you don't know about WFO. I believe we had the first application in the App Store that had to do with drag racing media. I believe that, going way back to whenever it was. And it's up to speed and functions. You can watch the video. You can listen to the podcasts, all of that. Podcast apps like Apple Podcast and Spotify, you can hear the show, but you're not going to see our video shows like you do on WFORadio.com. But definitely dive in on that. All the shows are there. Happy hour shows are all there, and very fun. Yeah, Courtney and Jason are a trip. They definitely are, right? Everybody loves them. It's fine. I know it. That's why I have them on the show, because I find them to be a trip also. Very fun. But yeah, we are going to have Jaron Settles, Flying Airbrush, and TJ Zizzo on the show tomorrow. Our sponsors, these people genuinely make this possible. Why am I able to sit in the WFO Radio studios and crank out these shows and have this fun? And that's why the next time you need coffee and you want to try something great, call Marvin, 817-924-6821. RodaxCoffeeandGrills.com. He's in Fort Worth, Texas. The Habanero Endorphin Booster hot sauces, all the hot sauces. What I would tell you is to just talk to him about gourmet stuff you like, and he'll put you on the right track. Simple as that. Also, Total Seal Piston Rings. Try it out, the new Total Seal website, brand new, totalseal.com. First of all, it's for shopping, but you can see all kinds of great information, totalseal.com. But if you want to order your rings in different sizes, they did a great job. The previous website was up for a while, and so a big evolution for their ultimate precision. The key to unlocking as much performance as possible, it's what sets Total Seal apart. How do I know? Because I just read that ad right off the screen. You should have been able to do that, too. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the Dragster Adventure, yes, starting soon. But right now, they've got classes going on in Gainesville, Florida. Yes, why don't you do that? You bored? Treat yourself to your Super Comp or Super Gas license and a little time spent with Frank Hawley. Or if you want to go big, become a top alcohol funny car racer. Why not? Do it. FrankHawley.com. And samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. We got a whole host of podcasts for you to subscribe to, all you podcast viewers. Let's see. Final comments. Hope I can get some WFO Radio stickers in the new K for my nostalgia top fuel car. The answer is no, you cannot. Not right now, because I can't send any mail out of the States. Even our friends in Canada, Gareth Senkow and Mike Race Guitar, we're having their mail like hand lifted to them. But once, and there's also this big customs form that I have to fill out, which, you know my word on busy work, avoid it. But we are working very hard to make sure our overseas listeners can get some WFO Radio stickers. And if you have a concept or an idea that would make it easier, that doesn't break the law, I am all about it. Please let me know what you think in terms of that, because we want to get WFO Radio stickers out there everywhere, to the whole world. And I learned that from Forrest Lucas, right? He was on Wind Tunnel years ago, and I think Dave Despain said to him, it's like, you know, what was one of your secrets to success? And he says, got the logo out everywhere. And they just made thousands and thousands of stickers. And we're trying. We're trying. Trying to make it happen here on WFO Radio. And again, P.O. Box 848-353, Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33084. And we'll do some WFO stickers for you. But a shirt? That would be pretty cool if you got yourself a WFO Radio t-shirt at nitrofishracing.com. The 10-year anniversary WFO gear. New masks are coming in soon. And You know, what was the quote? Even if you don't like them, wear them because they have an impact. No way to argue it. And it's great news. And plus, they look good together. Subscribe to the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, which was just purchased by SiriusXM, Google Play. I don't know a single person who uses that, but that's okay. Want to mention Steve Brenwald and the misses who have the, what is it? Cottontail College, where they save and rescue bunnies. You can find them on GoFundMe. I'm WFO Joe, Instagram, Twitter, WFO Joe. We encourage you to follow WFO Radio also on Twitter. All the social, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. How many times do I have to say we're going to be creating unique content for YouTube before you subscribe? Are you waiting for me to create unique content for YouTube? That makes sense. At Nitrofish Racing, you're going to get 20% off if you use the promo code WFO20. Thank you so much, everybody. Remember, tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. That is going to do it. Thank you all for listening. Really appreciate you. Thanks to Chad. Thanks to Justin. We'll see you next time on WFO Radio.
WFO!
This is WFO Radio.
I love WFO Radio.
Oh, yeah.
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
You're working in the shop, you've got spills, you've spilled oil, it's everywhere, what are you going to do? I know what you're going to do, but that's not the best way to do it. The best way to do it is to go to MagicDryUS.com and order the official organic absorbent of the National Hot Rod Association, Magic Dry. It's lighter, it absorbs more, it's better for the environment. It's made out of coconut. It's made in America. MagicDryUS.com. They've got spill kits that include everything you need for a regular, normal household spill, all the way up to a large industrial spill. We always say, if you've got a cat, get CatSpot. If you've got a shop, if you've got a factory, if you've got a spill, call Magic Dry. That's MagicDryUS.com. Attention adrenaline junkies. Frank Hawley's Dragster Adventure is calling you. Rides available for the 2020 season. Go to FrankHawley.com. They're coming to a track near you. It makes a great gift, whether it be licensing for Super Comp, Super Gas, all the way up to Top Alcohol. They can do it. But if you're a drag racing fan and you've always imagined what it might be like to drive a dragster to accelerate 0 to 60 in 3 seconds and run 10s in the quarter mile, give them a call. 866-480-7223, FrankHawley.com, the Dragster Adventure, and tell them you heard it on WFO.
Start your education at full speed with the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Accelerate your career as a high-performance engine builder with classroom instruction and practical hands-on experience in the lab, on the dyno, and at the track. In addition to the block, head, and CNC programs, SAM now offers motorsport EFI tuning and an Associates of Applied Science degree. And SAM is a military-friendly school, approved to train veterans and other eligible persons under the GI Bill. Start your education at full speed. Go to samtech.edu today.
Holley has been the undisputed leader in fuel systems for over 115 years. Holley carburetors powered every Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series team and nearly every NHRA Pro Stock champion for four decades. Now, Holley EFI products power these cars and are dominating the performance world. As a single solution or partnered with products from other Holley brands, they can give you the edge you need over the competition. Holley.com. Hey, engine builders, Total Seal Piston Rings are the leader in ring seal technology, and they go out of their way to help their customers and will make custom sets for any specific piston you might have. Customer service, top notch. Made in America? Absolutely. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona, and they've got everything it takes to develop the world's best piston rings. Give them a call at 800-874-2753 or go to totalseal.com. We're talking gourmet coffee. We're talking hot sauces. We're talking spice rubs. We're talking everything good at RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, been doing it since the 70s, figured out that life is better with great coffee. And oh, he's so right. 817-924-6821. Call Marvin. He'll roast up some coffee fresh for you. Throw in some hot sauce, some spice rub, and you will be loving it. Hit them up, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
WFO Radio is brought to you in part by Extreme Velocity 3 Drag Racing. Download for your mobile device. Win your way on the show. WFO.
This is WFO Radio.